Jessica and
Ethan.
Ethan Stryker. We've been coming for what, like 8 years or so to Cedar Ridge. We've got three kids. Colin's 10. Maddie's not here. She's 15. And Tim's 17. And you often can find, where do you usually?
Well, now I've been working with the high school students, some of which are here. And we used to work with the middle school students as well.
Yeah, and now I kind of split my time between elementary and I'm on the worship team sometimes. But anyway, let's get down to it. We are so excited to be here today. We are talking about Lego Movie 2. Who's seen it? Only four of you. All right. We can work with that. That's okay. So. All right, well, maybe let's try it this way. Who's seen the first movie? All right, a lot more hands. That helps. So you remember in the first movie that the whole thing, all the action from the Lego characters, was really a projection of a boy named Finn playing with his dad's, right, the forbidden Legos that the son wasn't supposed to touch. Remember this? So that is still part of this movie, right? The only difference is now this movie includes his sister, who's also allowed to play with the Legos. So we're going to get a feel for that in our very first opening clip. This is the very opening of the movie.
Working out smoothly, am I right, guys?
What? We are from the planet Duplo, and we are here to destroy you.
Oh, man.
You're going to have to get past us.
Specifically
so
me.
It's on!
Wait, guys, there's no need to fight anymore. I got this.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
Here we go.
Hello, visitors from another planet.
You are just as special as we are. See? Friends.
Ooh.
Yes.
What do you know? It worked.
Even though we're different, I guess if we open our hearts, everything can't be awesome.
Anything cute, shiny, poppy, young. And from the wreckage, we built a grittier, cooler, more mature society. We call it Apocalypseburg. And it is a hellish place to live.
We don't serve meat there!
Show weakness and you'll be eaten alive. This new life has toughened and hardened us all.
Two copies, please. One black, one with just a touch of cream and 25 sugars.
Well, toughened most of us.
Good morning, Apocalypseburg! Ah! Almost ran me over. Classic.
All right, so hopefully you get a feel for it, right? So the movie has picked up right where the last movie ended, literally, and it continues to parallel the kids' play. So we've also seen that the kids have grown up a little bit in 5 years. Finn is now probably a preteen or teenager, and that's kind of reflected in the transition from cute, colorful Bricksburg to Apocalypseburg, right, which looks all kind of broken down and dingy. And while the rest of Apocalypseburg is crumbling, we see that Emmett is still the same old Emmett, right? He still drinks his coffee with a ton of sugar. He still greets people on the street. He was just about to put his headphones on to listen to his favorite song. What was his favorite song, kids? Yes, everybody, go ahead. Everything is awesome, right? He's still listening to that song, even though the world around him definitely doesn't look awesome. Later, just after the scene that we watched in the movie, we learn that Emmett has built a super cute, colorful house for him and Lucy to live in, complete with a trampoline room and a double-decker porch swing. Of course, everything's double-decker with Emmett. And he seems unaffected by how harsh life has become around him. Meanwhile, we've got Lucy. That was her narrating there. And she seems to spend her days brooding about how harsh life is in Apocalypseburg and how they all need to be hardened and battle-ready for the next alien invasion. So before we go on to here, from here, you're going to tell your neighbor, I have a question for you to tell your neighbor. We want you to think about who you relate to more, Emmett or Lucy. So when life gets kind of tough for you, how do you think you... Who do you relate to? So think about it as a sliding scale. So if Emmett's all the way over here, kind of unaffected, happy-go-lucky, and Lucy's over here all brooding and ready for battle, where do you think you fall? Tell your neighbor. We'll give you just about 30 seconds. Tell your neighbor. Go.
So, how many Emmets do we have out there? More on the side of Emmett. Okay. It's good. How many more on the side of Lucy? Okay. I can see that. Okay. Okay. So, this next clip that we're going to show, it's very short. Before we get there, so there's a scene where Emmett has built this really cute house, you know, that Rebecca was talking about. And Lucy's kind of taken aback, and she's like, you know, Emmett, you've got to grow up. You know, this is a dangerous place, and this is going to draw attention to the aliens. And so she's, you know, warning him of this. And of course, she's right. It does attract attention, and a spaceship from the Sistar system comes in, led by General Mayhem, looking to bring leaders back with her, and that's what this next clip will show.
When everyone became the special, didn't we all become leaders?
No offense, I sense no leadership qualities from you. My readout confirms you to be soft, fragile, and a less than worthy opponent.
Hey, you watch what you say about Emmett. He saved the universe a few years back.
This guy was a fierce warrior.
Okay, well, technically, I did the warrior stuff, but...
So, you fought, and Massabilt, and kicked butt, and then the hapless male was the leader.
Well, you know, he was a symbol for... that we all have ideas, and,
But you did all the work.
Well, hey, Emmett is the sweetest, most optimistic guy you could ever meet, and I know those qualities are not useful anymore, and that Emmett isn't changing with the times and lacks a killer instinct, and in general just isn't tough enough.
Not tough enough?
Yeah, but this guy is the special. Well, at least he was.
Silence! Maybe five.
Take?
I'll explain with a memorable jingle.
All right, so in this scene, we really kind of get a sum of Lucy and Emmett. We can see how they're different. Her quote really sums it up. Emmett is the sweetest, most optimistic guy you'd ever meet, and I know those qualities aren't useful anymore, and that Emmett isn't changing with the times and lacks a killer instinct and in general isn't tough enough. So Lucy's really just saying what she really thinks about Emmett, the good and the bad. She thinks that his optimism and kindness are outdated, that they're useless in their society. As you can imagine, this motivates Emmett to want to change. General Mayhem, that was the character that was all in like the spacesuit from the Sistar system. She ends up taking several of the characters back with her that she regards as leaders. She doesn't take Emmett. She takes Batman, Benny, who's the spaceship guy, Lucy, Unikitty, and Metalbeard, the pirate. When they arrive, they meet Queen Whatevera Wannabe. You get it? Whatever I want to be. Whatevera Wannabe. We've got a screenshot of her, I think. And she's like a shapeshifter. She can change her form into whatever she wants it to look like. So most of the characters think that the queen is good. Like, they think that she's all right. Except not... Lucy. Lucy does not trust her at all. Queen Whatever Wannabe actually convinces Batman to marry her, and that was kind of the whole point of bringing these characters to the Sistar system for this big wedding, a ceremony that would unite their worlds and prevent Armageddon.
So, meanwhile, Emmett turns his cute house into a spaceship and tries to go rescue... to rescue his friends. Along the way, he meets and gets saved by a character named Rex. I think we have a screenshot of Rex. Rex is also voiced by Chris Pratt. He's kind of a compilation of typical Chris Pratt movie characters. Jurassic Park, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, Parks and Rec. Well, maybe not that character, but, you know, the cool guy. Stuff. So Rex is who Emmett is really aspiring to be, like tough and gritty. And Emmett asks Rex to train him so that he can be tough enough for Lucy and so that he can rescue his friends. And Rex teaches him, he says, if you're going to rescue your friends, you're going to have to become a master breaker. And I think we have a screenshot of that as well. So Master Breaker, this is in direct contrast to the last movie where Emmett aspired to be a master builder. Let's see. So in order to become a master breaker, according to Rex, you have to connect with grown-up feelings like abandonment and regret. Emmett gets some practice when they landed on a planet in the Sistar system and they had to break out. And Rex is teaching him, you know, channel your fears and you know, what are you most afraid of? And Emmett says, I feel very afraid of losing Lucy forever because I was not able to change. And that fear, you know, in that moment empowered him to break through and they were able to escape.
Yeah. So Emmett's fear is what empowered him in that moment to be a master breaker. We just want you to think about that for a minute. The fear is what gave him that power. And that can be kind of dangerous. Do you think God wants us to be a master builder or a master breaker? This scene about Emmett reminded us of a story from the Bible that happened the night before Jesus was crucified. He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane when Judas and the temple guards approached him. It's from Luke 22.
So while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him.
When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, what do you think happened? They became afraid. Think about all the things they were fearing in that moment. They were afraid of what was going to happen to Jesus. They were afraid of losing Jesus. They're probably afraid for themselves as well, and what would happen if they lost Jesus. There's a lot of fear that was fueling their decisions right then. They responded by asking Jesus if they should strike with their swords, but they didn't even wait for his answer. They started flinging swords everywhere. Well, maybe not everywhere. And they weren't very good at swordsmanship, or they weren't really trying to do damage. The only thing they did is cut off the guard's ear. So what do you think? Is that being a master builder or a master breaker? How did Jesus respond? But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. From this we can see that Jesus is a master builder. It also kind of makes me wonder, what would happen if that disciple had done worse? What if he, you know, did worse than just cutting off the ear? Kind of makes you think how that may have played out differently. It kind of also makes me think about, like, if you're playing with a friend. Has anybody ever built Legos with friends? Sometimes that goes well and sometimes it doesn't go well. Imagine that you've built this beautiful Lego creation and your sister, it's usually a sister, or brother, it's usually the younger one, right? Comes and destroys what you've made. Oh my gosh, how do you feel, right? What would you do in response? I've seen it played out this way, that the other person then breaks what that kid has made, right? And it goes back and forth, breaking, breaking, breaking. Breaking leads to more breaking until everyone is sitting in a pile of broken Legos. Kind of like Apocalypseburg, huh? It's easy to keep breaking. Those are easy decisions to make. But what's difficult and what's best is finding a way to build and finding a way to build together. Be a master builder, not a master breaker.
So back to the movie. So Lucy eventually finds and joins forces with Rex and Emmett, and together they come up with this plan to break up this wedding between the queen, whatever I want to be, I can't pronounce it like Rebecca does, I just can't, and Batman. They think that that's going to prevent Armageddon, whereas everyone else thinks it's going to, the wedding itself is going to prevent it. So their plan is to break up the wedding, and then they could get their brainwashed friends, out of there. And they were brainwashed to the point of, like, enjoying pop music. Like, that's how bad it was.
It was bad.
It was horrible. Okay. So this next scene starts with Lucy fighting General Mayhem.
He is, and what they're trying to do.
She's trying to attack us, obviously.
You attack us!
Well, now I'm gonna end it. Help me, please.
Nope. Mm-mm. Stop. Uh-uh. No. Oh. No, I will not care about... that darkness.
What are you talking about? You're the bad guys, okay?
Maybe in your world. But here, we don't see it that way.
Okay, no. Your whole costume and mask and all the stomping around, acting like you're...
Because it's the only way you'll listen.
I tried to wear a mask and talk tough, a language I thought you'd understand, and it totally did not work.
All we want to do is unite our world in peace.
Why didn't you guys just tell us that?
We tried. The queen sang a whole song about how not evil she was.
That was the truth? You guys are terrible communicators.
I know. Come with me. For years we've tried to join you, to play with you, but you've always pushed us away. Now all of our fighting has brought us to the brink of Armageddon. But this wedding can change all that. Bring us together and stop Armageddon. It'll make everything awesome again.
But everything isn't awesome.
And now, the queen will change into her original form.
So here we see where the fighting has come from, how it started. It's kind of a big misunderstanding. Maybe that's why in James 1:19 we're told to be quick to listen and slow to speak. We saw that the queen changed to her original form, which was the heart that Emmet had made 5 years ago. Note the contrast in this fight scene between Lucy and General Mayhem. At first, they're accusing each other of starting the war. You started it. No, you started the fighting. But later, the general states that Emmett started it all, but in a good way. Emmett was the reason that they are there. Emmett had started it out by reaching out in love. And Lucy realizes that Emmett's way was right after all, that his qualities of being kind and optimistic weren't outdated. They were for the best. He had reached out in love and friendship. All of this fighting, all of the war, all of the destruction could have been avoided. So once Lucy realizes this, it's actually a bit too late. Emmett and Rex have arrived, and Emmett has laid down one of this huge master break, which breaks that temple, this wedding ceremony that you saw in the last scene, and it brings about Armageddon.
I taught you to harden your heart.
Just like you asked me to. What did you make me do? What exactly is Armageddon?
Guys, I know I said it was the last time, and the time before that, but this is the last time. I need... Is there on the brick? I'm doing breathing so that it takes the pain away. I need... Close to childbirth. Very close in pain level to childbirth. You guys know the consequences. I need you guys to put all the bricks into storage.
The bin of storage.
No,
please,
Mom.
One more chance.
This is... I want you to go downstairs and put away your dystopian wasteland thing.
Apocalypse Burger.
I don't care what it's called. Bianca, I need you to clean up here.
It's not fair.
Look, I'm not the bad guy in the story. I'm just an amusing side character.
And you're the one
who's my aunt. I could really use your help up here.
Kids, do the thing. What your mother said.
You heard your father's super helpful contribution.
Ruined everything.
Just wanted you to play with me.
Emmett, what have you done?
What have we done?
It's called growing up. Isn't that what you wanted?
No, I want to see my friends.
You don't have friends. They're just pieces of plastic. You still want to go back to the Matrix when you know the truth?
What's the Matrix?
It's a movie only cool old mature dudes like us are saying.
It's time to put away childish things.
No, my friends may not be real to you, but they're real to me. And they're my family. I won't give up on them.
All right, so it's possible that we just put that scene in for Maya Rudolph. Like, that was just hilarious. And I have to say, I'm not at all like the father in that. I never do that. Okay. All right, so this is where we see things come to a head. And we see, you know, the brother and sister, you know, the consequences of them fighting, you know, come to fruition. And he says it, you know, you ruined everything. And then the sister... You know, in contrast, is like, I just wanted to play. I wanted you to play with me. And so, you know, the brother, he feared that the sister was going to ruin everything. And ironically, that was just like the first movie where the dad didn't let the son play because he knew the son was going to break everything. He had to use the craggle to keep things in place and all that kind of stuff. So the sister, Bianca... she feared being alone. So fear is something it's usually a reason that we argue. You know, if we took the time to truly communicate our fears and listen to and empathize with each other, maybe we wouldn't fight as much. And also we have this common thing, we have this common denominator, if you will, even though the numerators can be different. The common denominator of fear. Sorry, the math joke. We had, you know, we're both math people. Yeah. So anyway, we have this common denominator of fear, right? And if we could just notice that other people also have fears, they might not be the same ones. They might not be the same fears, but we all fear something, and we could possibly understand that we're all kind of similar in that way.
Yeah. It's kind of like two kids at school arguing over a swing. Does that ever happen to anybody? I was always waiting for the swing. Kid one doesn't want to get off the swing because he's afraid that they might not have enough time to get another turn. Or kid two is afraid that they might not even get enough time or any time at all, right? Sometimes, only occasionally, right?
Yeah,
Ethan and
once
I
or
have
twice.
Disagree. Once or twice. Maybe more than that. There was that time in 1999. Yeah, anyway. We occasionally, or more than occasionally, get into disagreements, and often it's rooted in fear. If you really think about it, fear is often at the heart of things. For example, when the kids were little, we would often disagree about if the kids wanted to do something slightly dangerous, like balance on a log.
Or play in the road, or something.
Don't do that. Ethan would fear for their safety. That's how he would fear that the kid would get hurt. Meanwhile, I would fear that they'd grow up having no courage if they didn't take small risks like that. That was a disagreement that happened a lot when the kids were little. Both valid, right? Both of our fears were valid.
Oh, that's nice that you said that. Thank you.
I
appreciate that.
That's good.
This is therapy for us, by the way, so appreciate it.
In any case, both rooted in fear. In the movie, Lucy feared her world would be destroyed, right? And we get it. The Duplos came, right? And when, you know, Emmett gave the heart, they ate it, right? We get how that could be communicated. And they cried, more, more, more. But it was Lucy who first cried, attack. That was Lucy's decision. The Duplos actually wanted more love, more hearts, more connection, more time to play. Lucy was looking for an enemy, and she made one by assuming the worst in these Duplos. Sometimes our expectations cloud our vision and our understanding. When we expect it a certain way, we see it that way. Meanwhile, Emmett was afraid of losing Lucy, so he let this fear change him, and he hardened his heart. The final clip that we're going to watch explores how we can deal with fighting, which happens, and the reality that everything is not awesome all the time.
This isn't one of those things with a downer cliffhanger ending. No. This needs to have a happy ending.
Seems like a downer to me.
And so it ends for Batman the way it began. In darkness.
Hey, Soups, you're pressed against me. It's no rush or anything.
No. It's only over if we give up.
Well, it's over and we're giving up.
We can get out of here if we all rally together.
No, it's too late. Nothing left to do except sing a mature, sad song as we fade to black. Everything's not awesome.
Wait, what?
I am so right.
Everything's not cool.
I am so depressed.
Everything's not awesome.
Preach, brother. I think I finally get Radiohead.
Bro, you should check out Elliot Smith.
What's the point? There's no hope. Awesomeness was a pie.
Guys, come on.
My spirits be at the bottom of the sea.
Life's not real. I just wanna eat carbs past the ice cream.
Not a thing you can just use to fill emotional voids with.
Stop. Everyone, okay, just listen.
Everything's not awesome.
Yeah, we know. That's what we're singing about.
But that doesn't mean that it's hopeless and bleak.
How so?
Everything's not awesome.
Tried to break your spirits, but now I'm gonna have to break you.
No!
This is gonna be easy. You're weak.
No, you're the one who's weak.
Huh?
I'll never grow up to be like you.
It's easy to harden your heart. But to open it, that's the toughest thing you can do. I'm gonna grow up, but I won't stop caring about the people in my life. And I may see the world differently, but that's not bad. I think it's inspiring. Remember, we're not alone in this world. We're in it together.
There was some good stuff in that scene. So as you learn about how the world works and how everything is not awesome, how should we respond? Everything's not awesome, but we can make it a little bit more awesome if we remember that we're not alone in this world. We're in it together, Emmett said. He also said, it's easy to harden your heart, but to open it is the toughest thing that you can do. Hebrews 3:15 says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. So what does it mean to harden your heart? How does that happen? It's kind of like when you get a blister. Anybody here have had a blister before? Oh, those are terrible. A blister's formed from being rubbed the wrong way too many times. When it hurts, when it's raw, that blister really hurts. But then the skin underneath it calluses. It gets thicker to protect you from being hurt in that spot again. The same thing can happen to our hearts. When you've been hurt by someone, sometimes we try to put up an artificial shell of protection, a force field that makes us think that we are shielded from being hurt again. It makes us untrusting of that person in the future. But even worse, sometimes it makes us untrusting of other people too, or even whole groups of people. Maybe it's people we've never even met or spoken to, but they remind us of the person that hurt us.
So to take this in a little different direction, and I know we're near the end, so bear with me. I'm hoping that this can change some of our attitudes in our current environment. So what if our battle isn't with people? You know, people that disagree with us. But what if our battle is against the powers that are behind the things that make us enemies? You know, we think we should be picking up our weapons. We use our modern-day weapons, our social media platforms, to wage a war of opinion. And if we've learned anything from our last couple of elections, we know that it is way too easy to divide us, you know, with the same issues. It's really easy to turn us against each other. And unfortunately, instead of solving these problems, we end up fighting more and more on the same old issues. And I'm not going to say that these issues aren't worth solving, but what if we, instead of focused on fighting these groups of people, we instead focused on building relationships? Maybe this is how we fight the powers themselves behind the issues. Isaiah 2:4 says, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. So kids, I don't know if you know what a plowshare is. Okay, so it's a farm, it's for farming, and it's a plow that you can share. Okay, so I just want to make sure the kids were all on the same page. Anyway, back to the serious point. So the point, though, is turning your weapons into something that builds something. And perhaps we need to turn these weapons into plowshares before the war stops. Like, how courageous would that be? Maybe that would be a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, we're fighting a war, but no, I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna turn this weapon into something that can build. And so, who's gonna be the first person to do that? I'm challenging myself just thinking about that. Like, what are our modern day plowshares? What can we do to build? You know, in the movie, you know, Emmett made that heart. You know, he took, you know, it wasn't necessarily a weapon that he converted into it, but he took that heart and he gave it to his sister as an offering. Also in that Isaiah passage, it says that war will not be learned anymore. In other words, kids are going to grow up, but they're going to grow up more like Emmett and not like Rex.
And isn't that what our vision statement says? Isn't that what we want for the people of this church to be about? Imagine a community that dares to dream of heaven on earth, a community where everyone is accepted and respected and their journey cherished, regardless of their background, beliefs, or place in society, where everyone looks out for the concerns of others and no one is alone. As we grow up, we sometimes start to feel and notice that everything isn't awesome all the time. But just because you grow up and start to see that, it doesn't mean that you have to grow up tough and angry. It's important that we don't harden our hearts, but that we keep hope, that we have faith that God can make things better, and that we reach out in love, that we pray like Jesus did, "Thy kingdom come, God, here and now," and that we live out that prayer and do our part to make our communities and our world a little more awesome. We're going to transition into a time of stations right now, so Ethan's going to describe the first one.
Okay, the first one, which one is that? The tables? Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, so we have some tables here. We have four tables. The ones that are closer to the front, we have regular Legos, and then the two kind of more towards the back have the Legos for younger kids. The Duplos?
Duplos.
Yeah, Duplos.
Mega Blocks.
And there's also some cards. So if you want to pair up and try to build something together, you know, hopefully nicely, there's cards from a game called
Creationary.
It's kind of like Pictionary. So you can build like a spaceship, for example. I don't know if a spaceship is in there, but on the card, pick the thing and build something together.
And then you have to ask someone else to guess what you made.
Right.
It's like Pictionary, right? Yeah. So that's that one. Okay, and the second station, this is actually, we'll ask you to go to a website to just kind of reflect about what you're thinking about. So they're going to put up a slide. There's the website on the bottom, and it is, you have to do the uppercase or lowercase correctly. It's totally anonymous, so don't feel like we're blurting out all of your deepest, darkest fears or whatever. But we'd like you to take a minute and reflect upon today's talk by answering one or more of the following questions. And you'll see mine up there with the blue post-it. What is your heart hardened against? How can you open your heart in that circumstance? Or how can you become more of a master builder in an area of your life where you feel fear? All right, so we're going to give you about 4 or 5 minutes to do those stations, and then we'll come back together for communion. All right, go ahead.